obviously, I think we're all still in shock. I think none of us have really absorbed what's happened yet. One of the things that someone said to me today is that over the next days and weeks and maybe even months, many of the thousands of people who are missing and presumed dead are going to start to have names and faces and stories, and that's going to make this all the more unbearable. I spent today out in the community in Chicago where we have many Arab Americans living, and the feeling is overwhelmingly one of sadness and shock and horror that we as Americans have been attacked. But there's also a feeling of apprehension and fear, because in addition to this burden of the attack, we also are looking over our shoulders because we feel the finger of blame being pointed at us collectively as a community, which is very painful. And already in Chicago, we've seen a number of attacks, a number of incidents aimed at Arab Americans and Muslims. This morning, someone threw a Molotov cocktail at an Arab American school. Luckily, no one was injured. The two Muslim schools in Chicago both had bomb threats and were both closed for the day. We had one of the staff of the Arab American Action Network was actually physically attacked yesterday as he was closing the office. He wasn't hurt, and police arrested the man. And then we've had many, many, many incidents reported of people being verbally abused. A man who was filling his tank at a gas station, other people at the gas station surrounded him and started to abuse him. And this is just in Chicago. We have had reports like this from all over the country. And at the same time, it's been very heartening that so many Americans, so many of our fellow Americans, have sent us messages of solidarity and support and said that we're all in this together and we won't allow you to be scapegoated the way you were after the Oklahoma City bombing, the way Japanese Americans were after Pearl Harbor. And that's been very, very heartening too, and crucial, in fact, to helping us through this.
What's your message to those citizens there that are, I think, pretty universally outraged by the terrorist acts in New York and Washington? But some, of course, are going beyond that to blame an entire group of people, as you just mentioned, attacks on people that certainly have nothing at all to do with the horrible acts, the terrorist acts that we're all working our way through right now. What's your message to folks who maybe are adopting unknowingly, unconsciously, the same kind of blind hatred and irrational violence that the people they abhor have adopted?
Well, our message is that we all need each other at this point, and that we all need to remain calm. The anger is understandable. We feel it. I personally, on the first hours of the attack, I also, you know, my family lives in Lower Manhattan, in not far from the World Trade Center, and for a while I didn't know where they were, and I went through the same worry and the same panic that tens of thousands of Americans have gone through. I am fortunate that I found them and that they're safe, but you know, tens of thousands of people are in the same situation and don't know where their loved ones are. So we're experiencing that too. So I would say, don't jump to conclusions. We remember after the Oklahoma City bombing, there were many reports that people have been arrested, that they're sure it's Muslims or Arabs or there's a Middle East connection. The same thing after the TWA 800 crash in 1996. The same people, the same so-called terrorism experts who made those calls in Oklahoma City and TWA 800 are the same people now who are populating our screens and the cable channels and so on. The same people who pointed the finger at us then. and none of them were right then. So even and we pray that the people who did this incredible crime will be caught and will be brought to justice. But even if it turns out that they are connected with the Middle East, that they are Arabs or Muslims, we want people to know that the vast majority of Arabs and Muslims do not believe in this kind of thing. That those people would no more represent us than Tim McVeigh represents other Americans. And that the guilt of a few people could not be transferred to collective guilt for a religion with 1.5 billion adherents worldwide and nations which are as diverse and as different as the United States is. So we want people to bear that in mind and to remember that what leads to this kind of blind hatred is the kind of stereotyping and lumping people together that people came to America to escape. People have come to America, they've settled here, they are born here. I was born here. I mean, the most painful thing for me has been receiving many messages from people telling me to go back home. I am home. I was born in this country. I work in this country. I'm a taxpayer. I'm standing with all the other people in this country in this moment of tragedy. And that's what we want people to know about our community as we go through this gut-wrenching and unbelievable tragedy.
Our guest on the line with us in this special programming, visiting and trying to assess the tragic events of yesterday and the terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington. We have on the line here on WPKN in Bridgeport, Ali Abu Nima, Vice President of the Arab American Action Network based in Chicago, Illinois. And Mr. Abu Nima, one thing I'd like you to comment on, if you would, and that is the images that we've seen over and over again on the television since the first reports of the terrorist assault, where Palestinians in the occupied territories dancing in the streets. I know this is a question I'm sure many mainstream journalists have posed to you as well. But Americans seeing this kind of joy in the hearts of at least some in the West Bank and Gaza among the Palestinians, that is not explained or placed into any context for Americans, and they certainly are shocked. And I'm sure I can't express the kind of sentiment that many people interpret those images with. But maybe you can provide some of your own views on what people should make of that seemingly inhumane and immoral kind of response to this kind of death and destruction.
Well, what I want to say about that is that anyone who would celebrate or express joy over this is certainly immoral and inhumane. And I don't think that has been the predominant reaction. I think if you look closely at those TV images, you see that the images, if you count the people in the images, there are no more than a dozen or two dozen people. If you look at the mass demonstrations which occur on other days in the occupied territories, you see tens of thousands of people out. There were no tens of thousands of people out, quote, celebrating. And many of these things were children. I have a five-year-old niece in New York City. She doesn't really comprehend what this is. She was evacuated from her home. But when I talked to her on the phone, she was talking about her, you know, just the things kids talk about. And so don't judge us by the images of a few people. At the same time, as I said, if anyone felt joy, that's wrong. I don't think that's the case. There have been many, many messages of support from Palestinians, from the Palestinian leaders, but also from the people. Palestinians in Jerusalem have held a prayer vigil outside the U.S. consulate in East Jerusalem. I've had messages from people in the occupied territories, and I have a lot of family living there. They're used to receiving messages from us saying, we hope you're all right and we pray for you in this, this situation of violence and conflict, and now they're sending messages to us and saying, tell us that people in your community are okay. And my parents live in Amman, Jordan, and it's been the same thing. They call whenever they can, and they say, we're just so sorry and we're so shocked. My father told me today that he had called up the U.S. ambassador in Amman to express his sorrow and condolences and shock. And so these are the reactions, the spontaneous reactions of people. You could go on any day to the West Bank, and when a film crew comes into town, people react sometimes that way, kids especially, and they don't always understand what's going on. And I don't think these pictures represent the true feelings of sorrow and sadness that we all have in the world. Palestinians have been living with this kind of violence, with this kind of loss. And many of the messages I've seen say that even though we feel anger at the United States sometimes because the United States supports Israel and the weapons which are attacking us are U.S.-built and paid for by the U.S., we do not, under any circumstances, believe that the American people should suffer in this kind of way. And I was down in the Arab-American community today, and that message was strongly, strongly echoed by everyone I talked to. I went into grocery stores, into offices, just talked to people in the street, and you know, because when I saw the TV images, I said, wait a minute, do people really feel like this? Am I the only one who feels this this terrible sense of tragedy? And of course I wasn't, but I had to go out and reassure myself that that was the case, and I had no trouble doing so. So I hope people, again, will not jump to conclusions from very limited, distorted, and decontextualized images on the TV screens.
What kind of job, in your view, has the media done in covering these horrendous events? And I want to pause here just to mention that WPCAM producers Doug Eccles and Richard Hill are here, and they'll be, I'm sure, sharing some of their thoughts with us in a little while. And I want to give out the phone number, but I guess first ask you, Mr. Abu Nima, can you stay with us a few more minutes?
Certainly.
Okay. Our phone number here is 203-331-9756. That's 203-331-WPCAN. We want to hear some of your thoughts on these dramatic events, and we'll be going till 10 p.m. So we'll be returning right now to our guest Abu Nima on the phone, the Vice President of the Arab American Action Network in Chicago, Illinois. But we do want to hear from you tonight as well. We hope you'll call us at 203-331-9756. Yeah, Ali Abu Nima, what are some of your thoughts on the media and the kind of job they've been doing?
Well, I think it's been mixed. I mean, you know, I don't blame anyone in this scale of a disaster for looking for answers and searching for answers. I think some of it has been very irresponsible. I watched Fox News last night, which had on the Reverend Jerry Falwell, who was fulminating about how evil Islam is, and, you know, they're all to blame and this kind of thing. But even some of the major networks that we've criticized in the past were doing a good job. ABC's Peter Jennings was very careful, was even when those images of Palestinians were on, he said, I know from personal experience that Palestinians, many of them, have family living in the United States. They feel very attached to the United States. And I know people in the Middle East would not celebrate something like this. And that was very important that he said that. I think that, you know, where the media fails is in some of the speculation, in the use of so-called terrorism experts whose credentials or history is often not given to the viewers. Some of these terrorism experts are former CIA operatives who worked in Afghanistan or training so-called Muslim Mujahideen fighters in Afghanistan during the Soviet occupation. the same people who are now suspected of attacking the United States. So the same people who trained, these people are now on TV telling us how awful they are. So we also need, you know, to come clean about how U.S. policy may have, I don't think, is to blame, or you can't say that anything would justify or bring this on. But there are also were mistakes made in the past that are not being discussed. Osama bin Laden, if he is the person who is behind this, and that's not clear, is also someone who was a favorite of the United States in the 1980s. So we need to know about that, not in order to justify or excuse this, but because people need to know it. And often a lot of that contextual background gets left out. In the same way that I think most Americans don't know that Saddam Hussein, up until 1989, was a very, very close ally of the United States. And so our media do a very good job of telling us about our enemies, but they don't do a very good job about telling us how our enemies were often once our friends, so to speak. And but I think right now these events are so devastating that I would give the media overall, in many senses, a B+. It could be a lot worse, and I think most of the focus is rightly on the disaster, on the suffering. Consider the fact that most of the television stations have suspended advertising. I think that's very responsible and very respectful as well. So there are pluses and minuses, and we hope and appeal to the media to continue to be responsible. And we also hope that people, the general public, when they see images which are defamatory or speculative or insightful, will ask the right questions and will say to the media that, look, we don't want this. We don't want anything that inflames an already bad situation.
Our number here, if you'd like to contribute your thoughts and sentiments at this moment of a crisis here in the United States, is 203-331-9756, 203-331-WPKN. Give us a call, and we'll put you on the air with our guest, Mr. Abu Nima. And Mr. Nima, I wondered if you would talk about some of your concerns as regards the threat to civil liberties, given the history of government reaction to these kinds of terrorist attacks. Very often certain groups are selected and profiled, and their movements restricted or worse. There's a lot of abuse during these times of crisis. And then, of course, in general, we've seen an erosion of everyone's civil rights during and after these terrorist attacks.
Well, I think it's right that after such an event, and this is, such an unprecedented event, it's right that people ask, what can we do to make ourselves more secure? What can we do to better protect our society? And I'm asking that question, too. I came so close to, I didn't imagine that my family living in New York City could be, you know, less than a mile from something like this. So I'm asking that question, too. But we have to look at history. We have to look, remember after Pearl Harbor, the internment of Japanese Americans, and what an enormous injustice that was at the time. We have to remember that in the shock of Pearl Harbor, the Supreme Court agreed to essentially the suspension of the Bill of Rights in order to enable that to happen. We have to remember that in the wake of the Oklahoma City bombing, the so-called anti-terrorism bill was rushed through, which actually does very little to counter the kind of threat from domestic terrorism that brought about Oklahoma City. But what it did was introduce such unconstitutional things as the use of secret evidence against foreign citizens in the United States, where we've had people who are kept in jail for 3 years without charge or trial, something which we criticize countries like China for, is happening in the United States. And then after the TWA 800 thing, the government put in place so-called passenger profiling measures, which have led to thousands and thousands of incidents of Arab Americans and others being singled out for scrutiny, humiliating searches, without one single of these incidents leading to an arrest or the prevention of a potential violent incident. And that came about in the wake of something that is now acknowledged to be a technical catastrophe, not an act of terrorism. So we need to remain calm. We need to let enough time to pass so that the facts can be gathered and we can consider what to do. The worst thing would be to rush do things which feel satisfying, feel politically, allow politicians to say we have acted, but in fact may erode the very civil liberties and the freedoms which make the United States different from other countries in the world.
Just a final question for you, Mr. Abu Nima, and that is, what are some of your views on how the United States government should react to this terrorist attack? Of course, we've heard the name Osama bin Laden very often over the last 36 hours or so, and there is no concrete evidence, as far as I've heard, that ties him directly with this attack. But it seems that we are getting the drift of the Bush administration that that bombs will drop and people will suffer the consequences if they, I guess, can blame someone or some group or some nation for what has happened here. What are you thinking in terms of what would be an appropriate response from the United States given the tragic loss of thousands of lives that we're liable to find as the total in the coming days?
Well, I think that there is an understandable desire on the part of people, many people, and on the part of the government to hit back at whoever did this. And we saw that in play in 1998 after the bombing of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. The U.S. let fly with cruise missiles against Afghanistan and Sudan within a few days. And we learned later that in Sudan they hit a pharmaceutical factory, the only one producing, in fact, 50% of the pharmaceuticals in Sudan, one of the poorest countries in Africa. And it turned out later that this had absolutely nothing to do with either Osama bin Laden or with the attacks on the U.S. embassies. So that was an example of a political response, a visceral, emotional response, which turned out to simply have been another injustice. A great injustice was answered with another great injustice. So we don't want to do that. I think, you know, terrorists, criminals, like the people who carried out this attack, they act without following the rules, without following the law, without having any respect for human life or human dignity. Governments can't afford to do that. I think that the full resources of this country should be devoted to finding out who did it and to bringing those people to justice. What form that response takes, I think, will depend on what emerges from the investigations. But simply to launch a military strike at someone just because we feel a need to do so, I think will simply come back to haunt us in one way or another. We need to, again, resist the temptation to act in a precipitous way.
What are some of your fears about a military retaliation that could be motivated by the, you know, the mob mentality and the politics of the moment where people in Washington feel they have to do something to satisfy a certain bloodlust that's understandably there after so much loss of life?
Well, my fears are that more innocent people will die. I think there's been enough suffering, and you know, I think in a way, this isn't the time to talk about this because right now the focus is on the tragedy. But, you know, people in the United States often don't appreciate how the United States is perceived around the world. You know, the United States sees itself as a force for good around the world, and I think most Americans want it to be a force of good, but sometimes our government has shown that it can act in ways which aren't honorable, and people in the Middle East are angry about the fact that 500,000 children have died in Iraq, that hundreds of thousands were killed in the Gulf War, innocent civilians, people who are not Saddam Hussein, people who don't support Saddam Hussein, Palestinians feel very angry that they're being attacked with U.S. weapons. None of that is to say that this attack could ever be justified in any way, shape, or form, but just to say that precipitous action, which then harms more innocent civilians in another part of the world, is not likely to have a beneficial effect. It's simply going to exacerbate feelings of outrage, of distance, of the gulf between us. What we need to do now is to really look hard at what we're doing. I liked some of what Secretary of State Colin Powell said today, as he was talking about building a world coalition against this kind of terrorism, which would include Muslim countries. I don't think, you know, why would we think if bombing us in the United States doesn't make us fault and doesn't make us feel good towards the people who bombed us, why do we think that the people who are blown apart by U.S. bombs, who are as innocent as the people who've died in New York and Washington, why do we feel that that would make them any more amenable or open to us? So we have to break this cycle of reaction retaliation and try to come to a broader understanding of where the United States sits in the world and how it can continue to be a force for positive change, especially following something. This is an example for the United States to be an opportunity for the United States to be a real shining example to the world.
Well, I want to thank you, Ali Abu Nima, for joining us, making time, and I know it's an emotionally charged moment for many of us, including you, given some of the blind hatred and violence that's been directed to many members of the Arabic American community. Is there anything you'd like to say as we conclude here, and certainly provide our listeners with any phone numbers or websites that they can go to maybe get some different kinds of perspectives on this, on the terrorist actions and the tragedy that we saw unfold yesterday?
Well, thank you. I would like to wish you and wish all your listeners the best, to wish them peace, share our prayers and stand together at this time, and to continue to just support each other. It has been difficult. I know that your listeners are going through what we are here in Chicago, too. And I can give them my website. It's www.abunimah.org, abunimah.org, and that has links to a number of other resources as well.
All right. Well, thank you once again, and we can stay in touch in the coming weeks and months to discuss some of these issues that maybe aren't even appropriate to tackle tonight, you know, as a lot of people are grieving, just trying to absorb the enormity of what's happened. But thank you for being here on WPKN.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Ali Abu Nima, the vice president of the Arab American Action Network in Chicago, Illinois. And his website is www.abunimah.org. And another website is the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, which is www.adc.org. And I give those addresses out because I probably am correct in assuming, having not been glued to the TV set the last 36 hours, but I'm assuming that a lot of those voices are not being heard on television I could probably be corrected if I need to be. But I don't think, for the most part, the broadcast and cable networks are featuring many voices like we just heard from Ali Abu Nima.